What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from 5-Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will if your car has less than 130,000 miles. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans unavailable in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom225.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom225.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 225.com. Freedom225.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie, and my show, The Unsolicited Opinion, can be heard here on AM 1360 WNJC every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth one word at a time on The Unsolicited Opinion here on WNJC 1360. Tired
of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Buddy, I have a great guest tonight, and I am excited. My guest tonight is from New Zealand, and his name is Trevor Loudon, and his blog is called newzeal.blogspot.com, and I don't know how I stumbled across Trevor's blog spot. I think it was a couple of years ago at least, but he's got great information. He does great research, and he exposes a lot of stuff that, of course, our so-called media in this country never wants to touch because they're not really interested in the truth. And those of you who have listened to my show consistently, you're aware of the fact that we don't get any of the truth here in this country. We get a puppet show. We get a fantasy. We get whatever it is they want to tell us, and believe me, we all know they tell us a lot of stuff all of the time. I am going to introduce another sponsor tonight, and I had him on the other night as well, this new sponsor I wanted to introduce, and that is diggersrealm.com. Digger has been hunting down illegal immigration and following illegal immigration in this country for probably about 8 years. He's got a great website. You need to check it out, because if you want to know the real truth about what's going on with illegal immigration in this country, then you need to take a look at his website. It is diggersrealm.com.
These days, we...
For the miners who died down there in the mines. What do they have any idea of what caused the explosion, Trevor?
Well, thanks very much for that, Maggie. It's been very somber here the last couple of days. Look, all we know is it's a major gas explosion sparked by methane, which is, obviously methane levels were too high in the mine, and there was a power outage not long before the explosion, and the speculation is that stopped the ventilation system and allowed the methane build-up, but that's only really speculation at this stage. But there's been two big explosions, and it's pretty much regarded as hopeless that anyone would still be left alive.
Oh, it's a very sad time, I'm sure, for the people of New Zealand, Trevor, and that's unfortunate. It's too bad they did not have the same result as those miners did not so long ago down in Chile, so it's unfortunate,
well,
and our prayers go out to the families of those people, Trevor.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Maggie.
Let's talk about, I was looking at something on your website, and you have some video that you've linked up there, the Perestroika Deception. Let's talk about that a little bit, because it really is relevant to what's happening in this country, Trevor, with really, who are the players? Who's the hand behind the curtain? Who are the operators behind the curtain? And I think so many people in this country, a lot of the people on the right have figured it out, but I'm sure a lot of people on the left, those who have no clue and think that this is still JFK's Democrats going on, have no idea what the involvement of communists are and what hand and role they play in what's going on in this country. So let's talk about those videos, if you could, please.
Okay, well, the videos you're referring to, what they're basically saying is that communism never really died. Now, we know it never died in the United States because it basically moved into the Democratic Party and into the universities and into the media. On the international scene, the theory is basically that the communists are still running things behind the scenes in Russia. You know, the head of Vladimir Putin is still running things. He's a military intelligence professional, has been all his life. And that they are still working with the Chinese, with the Cubans, with the Iranians, with the Venezuelans, and various other radical groups all around the world who are are still targeting America. Although America thinks it's got a friend in Moscow and a friend in Beijing, really both of these countries are working against the United States and using their puppets in Cuba and Venezuela and the international terrorist movement and the Islamic terrorist movement to do their dirty work for them.
Well, you know, Trevor, that's one of the words that you mentioned there, the Islamic terrorists. You know, that's an interesting thing because I don't think many people really realize what the connection between communist Russia, China, and the Islamic terrorists really is. I don't know if anybody even connected that or even thought about that. I doubt very much if they did. So talk about that a little more, if you would, because that's so significant in people's minds in this country. What's happened, of course, with 9/11 and other, you know, the coal bombing and different things like that, you know, that had the first World Trade Center bombing. And now what we're going through with the TSA in this country, all the nonsense that they're doing, instead of profiling people like they would if they were looking for a criminal who just murdered somebody and they knew their description was 5'6" and blonde-haired and blue-eyed, they'd be searching it down 5'6" blonde-haired, blue-eyed men or women or whoever. But they don't do that in this country. We do nonsense instead.
Well, that's right. And the key thing here is that the Soviet... the part of this strategy is deniability. Now, the Chinese and the Russians, they want American money and they want American goodwill and they want American technology. But at the same time, they want to bring America to its knees. So therefore, they have to use front groups. And these are coordinated through basically two sections. One is the Palestinian Liberation Organization. They orchestrate a lot of the Islamic terrorism around the world, and the other front is in the American section of the Cuban Communist Party, which coordinates terrorism through the Western Hemisphere. That is why you've got people from Hamas going into places like Venezuela under Chavez and moving their way up through Mexico into Arizona and Texas over the Mexican border. So you've got the terrorists. Situation is basically, it's all state terror. It's not coordinated by Muslim extremists. It's basically coordinated from Moscow and probably from Beijing as well. And they can continue getting American money and American technology while doing everything they can to bring America down and blaming the Muslims for it.
Well, you know, I read something today that Russia and China both decided they were going to renounce the U.S. dollar and they were going to just trade their currencies kind of ignore the U.S. dollar. And I'm no economics major, money major, or anything like that, so I can't tell you all the ramifications of that, but I don't think that that's probably a very good thing if they're trying to detach from the U.S. dollar.
Well, they're trying to weaken the United States dollar. You know, that's what they're trying to do, and people think that's crazy because America owes, you know, China so much money, but that's not the important issue. You know, the important issue, and one that Americans have to understand, is that you guys are the main enemy, and the Russians and the Chinese and their crazy allies have never, ever given up the goal of bringing your country to its knees. And they will use economic means, terrorism, infiltration, espionage, anything they can to weaken the United States and strengthen their own position.
Well, they've got a president who likes to help them do that, too. Our president certainly seems to be more of an ally of all our enemies than he is an ally of whom one would have considered to be our allies heretofore anyway. So, you know, they're kind of in like Flint, Trevor, because they've, you know, they got the man in the White House is helping them on down the pike.
Well,
so,
until November, they had all their ducks in a row. They had their man in the White House. They had the Senate and they had Congress. Now they haven't got Congress, and there's a lot of good new conservatives and patriots in Congress now who might be able to help turn things around. But when I say they, what I'm talking about here is basically three organizations. There's the Communist Party USA, which is still very active, Democratic Socialists of America, which is America's largest Marxist organization, and a Communist Party split-off, which is called the Committees of Correspondence for Democracy and Socialism. Now, these three groups have literally dozens of American congressmen in their pockets. They have infiltrated the U.S. Congress over a period of and Senate over many, many years, and they've got their boy, Barack Obama, in the White House. Now, Barack Obama has a long history with the Communist Party USA, Democratic Socialists of America, and Committees of Correspondence. He's worked with these people for well over 20 years. And so they have got their man in the White House. They have got a whole lot of their congressmen in Congress and quite a few of their senators in the Senate. So they are directing U.S. policy away from its traditional allies towards its traditional enemies. So Israel is being abandoned, Taiwan is being, you know, cut loose, relations are cooling with Japan and Korea and, you know, other countries around the globe, but they're warming up with the Palestinians, warming up with Hugo Chavez, warming up a little bit with the Cubans, and they're trying to warm up with the Russians and the Chinese.
You know, Trevor, I noticed you had picked out to expose Mark Ritchie on your website, who is the Secretary of State of Minnesota. And I was reading through some of his history, and one of the things that kind of caught my eye, because my background is nursing, and I was in nursing school in 1982, and I remember one of the things that Mark Ritchie is noted for was being involved with this Nestle boycott. At the time, they were boycotting Nestle's because it wasn't because they were interested in making sure that infant health would be better in third world countries. It was because they wanted to kind of drag capitalism and the capitalist system through the mud and with all their anti-corporate rhetoric. And it's interesting because when I read through Mark Ritchie's history and his associations, which is all socialist, communist, Marxist, that's his background, reads like a hoo-hoo in that. And it kind of caught my eye because I remember being in nursing school and I remember that Nestle's boycott and the propaganda that they were teaching us and they were stating related to it. It was just, it's fascinating how everything is so interconnected, and you look back through your life and you realize all these different kind of flags that have been popping up here and there, not that you would have put anything together. I didn't at the time, but you can certainly look back and see these associations. It's really an amazing thing.
Yeah, well, you've lived through it. Well, it's amazing. Mark Ritchie has been an anti-capitalist for years, and you're quite right. The Nestle campaign was one of several anti-capitalist corporate campaigns he has been involved in for over a period of 30 years. He's been very, very active, and that's what it's all about. It's nothing to do with children's nutrition. It's everything about bashing capitalism.
It's funny, promoting socialism.
Mark Ritchie is the man who, he was put in place by the Secretary of State Project, which was an organisation funded by George Soros,
okay,
with the idea of putting sympathetic secretaries of states in every state of the union so that they could adjudicate on close elections. And he was the man who put Al Franken into power.
Well, I read that.
At a very, very critical time when the healthcare debate was coming up. Even though Norm Coleman was well ahead, ahead on the night, after a very controversial recount, Mark Ritchie basically gave that Senate seat to Al Franken.
Well, I was reading about that because, in fact, I had heard something about the convicted felons who were counted, their votes were counted in that race. Had they not been counted, of course, then Coleman would have won, but isn't it interesting how these things play out like this, Trevor? It's just a really amazing thing. It's like we're watching a play go on a stage, and we're all sitting in the audience, and we're watching them perform these acts, all these different scenes of these plays right before our eyes. It really is amazing.
That's right. And the key thing is, if you know the script or some of the script, you can predict what is going to happen next. And the best way to know the script of what's going to happen in America is to read the Communist Press, the Communist Party USA Press, Democratic Socialists of America, because if they say something today, you can guarantee the White House will be promoting it tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Trevor, we're going to go to a break real quick. I'm actually broadcasting remotely, and so I'm relying on the fellow who's inside the studio to connect us up with breaks and all of that stuff. So I'm hoping that he's sitting there listening and can hear me tell him that I want to go to break. Okay, he says he's there. So we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Trevor, hang on. Everyone, you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and we are speaking with Trevor Loudon, who is from New Zealand, who writes the blog newzeal.blogspot.com, and believe me, that is the place that you want to go to find out information, because it isn't going to happen in the New York Times or the Washington Post. I can guarantee you the only thing they're good for is to start your fire. Hang on, everybody, and we will be back in about 2 minutes.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-837-7554. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with VVV-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554.
At all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from Five Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388.
Plans unavailable in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
This song says, no matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you. Oh, yeah. Oh, my darling. Stand by me, no matter who you are, no matter where you go in life, you gonna need somebody
behind you. No matter how much money you got, all the friends you got, you gonna need.
Okay, lower it down. Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and we are back. You are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Podcasts of my show, as well as links to all of my guest websites, are always up on my show, usually not too long after the show ends. It all depends. You know, some people, I don't control that, so my buddy who helps me out, it's entirely up. It's in his hands. So I leave it up to him. I also want to let you know about a new sponsor that I have, and that sponsor is the website diggersrealm.com. That's D-I-G-G-E-R-S, realm, R-E-A-L-M.com. You've got to check it out. He's got great information. He is like a dog with a bone. I'm telling you, if you want to know about illegal immigration in this country, go to diggersrealm.com, because there you are going to find the truth. Digger is another truth talker. I also wanted to mention something else, too. You know, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and there is a gentleman that I met a couple weeks ago, and he belongs to an organization which goes to the airports to welcome home all our soldiers and sailors when they're coming home. It's called a heroes-welcome.org, and please go there to that website. You can find out when some soldiers are coming home, and you can go down there and greet them. So please do that. It's Thanksgiving. You know what? We got a lot to be thankful for in this country, and the fact that we have soldiers and sailors, men and women, willing to put their life on the line for us, we need to stand and honor them. So please check it out, a heroes-welcome.org. Now we are rejoining with Trevor Loudon from newzeal.blogspot.com, and we were talking about communism, Trevor. Let's talk about Marxism in the church a little bit, because, you know, that's a big thing. And if you look at the church that Barack Obama spent 20 years sitting in, of course, it wouldn't have been a church I would have gone to, because I couldn't see, a preacher spewing hatred doesn't sound very Christian-like to me. So let's talk about what's going on there and what you know about that.
Well, the hard left has been infiltrating the U.S. churches since the turn of the 20th century, but it's really accelerated probably since the 1960s. And you have to say that all of the mainstream denominations now, Catholic, Methodist, Episcopalian, all are heavily, heavily infiltrated. They're basically, what happened was that the far left infiltrated the seminaries, you know, Union Theological Seminary and that sort of thing, and have been indoctrinating priests and priests ever since. You know, so that's the essence of it. But right now you have the Communist Party USA, which has its own religious commission. Democratic Socialists of America has its own religious commission as well, and they have people dotted throughout the churches in some very high places, and I'm talking about bishops and archbishops here, who are basically socialists. So that's one aspect of it, and you've even got that infiltration occurring now in some of the evangelical churches. So it's a commonplace phenomenon. The Catholics call it liberation theology, but the same thing is going on in the Protestant divisions as well, also obviously in the synagogues and even some of the Mormon tabernacles.
Well, you know, I think, honestly, Trevor, 30 years ago or so, I used to spend a lot of time reading the Bible and studying the Bible and that, and I honestly have to say the only way someone who never did that to realize what was being done to them through their churches in the pulpit was if you don't have that touchstone, if you don't have that understanding, you're not going to be able to recognize that whatever message they're telling you isn't the message that they should be telling you. You won't know that.
Well, that's right, and the whole point is to prey on people who don't have a sound, you know, background, and are just, well, basically believe what they're told. You know, they go to church for guidance, and if the people in there are deliberately deceiving them, well, and the people don't have a sound foundation, well, you're going to have a bad result, unfortunately.
Yeah, it really doesn't seem to make much difference, does it, in terms of their long-term plan or their game plan. There's no holds barred in terms of how they will pursue their agenda, is there? It doesn't matter what it is. They'll corrupt no matter what. Nothing is, I guess, it's sacred to them, I suppose, is the word I'm looking for.
Well, the churches, well, exactly, and you know, if you look at the most influential organizations in the United States, and you'd have to say that the Christian churches are right up there. So they were very early target for subversion. You know, this is a big program. These guys aren't mucking around, as we say in New Zealand. They have basically been working away for years to infiltrate the United States, and the churches are a key target for them. That's why you have all these church people who rave on about Nicaragua and poverty in the third world and that kind of thing, and always calling for government intervention. You know, that's straight out socialism. And if you look at Barack Obama's religious experience as well, his first pastor was a Marxist, and that's Jeremiah Wright in Chicago. You know, he had Communist Party members in his church. He had Democratic Socialist of America members in his church. He was going to meetings of the Black Radical Congress, which was set up by the Communist Party, and attending seminars on faith, using faith as a spiritual weapon. Sort of thing. And now Obama's latest spiritual mentor is Reverend Jim Wallis, who's an SDS radical, a Marxist, involved with Democratic Socialists of America. You know, so if you look at Barack Obama's two spiritual mentors, both of them are Marxists.
Yes, exactly. Well, I have a feeling Barack Obama was a Marxist before he ever set foot in Jeremiah Wright's church. So all it did was just cement his ideology. I don't think Wright created it. I think it was there long before he ever set foot in that place. I truly believe that. Trevor, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with this potential for amnesty and the immigration. There's probably about 40 million illegal aliens here in this country. Of course, they deny that number, and they've been claiming, and I had been following it for probably about 7 years. They've been denying that it's that much. They've been saying 12 million for the last 7 years, Trevor, and of course we know that's a lie. So let's talk a little bit about that whole game plan with granting amnesty, this Dream Act, which really would be amnesty for illegal aliens in this country, because then they could, by virtue of being given amnesty for these people who supposedly are going to go to college, then they could bring in their relatives and their cousins and their 14th cousins removed, and, you know, let's talk a little bit about that, Trevor.
Well, there's two reasons for it, basically. One is to change the cultural character of the United States. They want to break down the sort of they want to break down the character of the United States and make it into basically a third world country. So that's part of the reason. The other is that now there's a guy called Alessio Medina who in 2008 was a member of Barack Obama's Latino Advisory Commission.
Okay.
He is also a key leader of Democratic Socialists of America. He's a long-term Marxist. He is also one of the vice presidents of the SEIU labor union. Now, his job, he is the key immigration, they call it reform, but I call it amnesty, activist in this country. He is driving the debate. He's using SEIU and all the resources at his disposal to get these kind of acts pushed through Congress. But I've got him on tape openly stating, he says basically, he spoke this to a progressive meeting in 2009 in Washington, D.C. He told the assembled leftists, he said, if we can get 12 million illegal immigrants legalized, that will give the Democrats 8 million more votes. That will enable us to create what he called a progressive majority for the foreseeable future. So basically, they figure that if they can legalize all those illegal immigrants, they will be so grateful, they will all vote Democrat, and that will shift all the southern states from the Republican to the Democrat camp forever, permanently. And so that's the plan. You know, they want to change, they want to change America into a Democrat-ruled country. The Democrats will be ruled by the communists and the socialists, and the Republicans, the conservatives, the Tea Party people will be a permanent minority forever after.
Yeah, well, you know, they intend to stack the deck, or they intend to cheat via the likes of Mark Ritchie. They intend to do whatever they can do to continue pushing their agenda, and so they're not going to stop at anything, I don't believe. You know, what's your take on this whole... I'm sorry, Trevor?
Well, I was just going to say a little point about Mark Ritchie. Now, that guy has high-level links with the Communist Party USA. You know, he is a Minnesota Secretary of State. He can decide tight elections. He's already given one Democratic senator a job, and he's just about to, I think, adjudicate on the governor's race in Minnesota, which may go to Mark Dayton, who happens to be a long-time leftist and a very close friend of Mark Ritchie, or a close colleague.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and this guy has been working with the Communist Party USA. So this is what we're facing, you know, these covert people in positions of power who are not loyal to the states but are loyal to various Marxist sects who are in turn loyal to Cuba, China, you know, Russia, etc.
Just out of curiosity, Trevor, what made you decide to do as much research as you do? Because you're from New Zealand. What makes you focus on the U.S. as you do?
Well, I started off focusing on the New Zealand left, but that led me to the U.S. left because there are a lot of links between them.
Okay.
And for instance, back in, I interviewed a guy who had studied in Moscow in the 1980s. At Lenin's Institute for Higher Learning. He was a top New Zealand communist since left the party. And he told me basically that he trained with 7,000 people at any one time in the school, communists from all over the world. But there was no Americans there because the American government had told the Russians that if any Americans were caught studying there, there would be war. And the Russians accepted that. But what they used to do, they used to indoctrinate the New Zealanders, who would then go and indoctrinate the Americans. So it would be a cutout, you know, there would be a cutout procedure, which is what they do. So I started studying the American left, and then I came across the links to Barack Obama and the Communist Party through Frank Marshall Davis. And the real guts of it is that, you know, America is, as Abraham Lincoln said, the world's last best hope. If your country falls, you know, who
Everybody
is going to defend
down.
Us from the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians and any other lunatic with an atom bomb who wants to bully the rest of the world into line? If America goes down, there will be no free countries left in a few years at all.
No, I
so
agree
really,
with you there.
I have a very strong interest in... keeping America free and prosperous, because your freedom and prosperity guarantees, well, gives my country a chance.
Sure. Well, there are some here in this country who are fighting back, Trevor, and you're fighting back just by the blog that you've put together there, newsealblogspot.com. You know, so people like you and people who, you know, are standing up trying to speak the truth. I mean, there are people fighting back. We can hope and pray that good will prevail over evil, you know, that the end of the story hasn't been written yet, so that remains to be seen.
I'm really encouraged by what's been happening in the United States in the last 2 years. You know, there are more patriotic people getting up and standing up. There are more people getting in touch with the Constitution, understanding what America is all about, understanding what made your country so different. There's more of a resurgence of interest in that sort of thing than I've ever seen or could have ever hoped for. So that's really what encourages people like me. So I think it's a race between the patriots and the progressives. not who's going to win. And the fate of the world really depends on who wins that battle.
I agree. You know, I have been focusing my show the last several weeks on the United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, and I know in a conversation you and I had via email a few weeks ago, you said that wasn't something you were focusing a lot on, so we really won't get into that tonight in this conversation, but that's what I really have been focusing my show on, because honestly, all of this is all related to what you're saying, because it's communitarianism, and it is, you know, the total, it's communism, only they're putting the green face on it to be able to push the agenda through with all this green scam that they've dreamt up to push their agenda, but it's all really related to what it, all the research that you've been doing on communism and the Marxists and this push
that's exactly right. We have Agenda 21 here in New Zealand, and it's infiltrated the local town councils and that sort of thing. And if you look at states like Oregon, who's really been getting into this for a while, they have so many rules and regulations about land use and water use and environmental this and environmental that, that it's another way of strangling capitalism and changing the culture of the country. So, yeah, it's Agenda 21 is a major arm of the octopus.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I'm trying to kill the octopus, and that's what you're trying to do, too. And there are a lot of us who've tried to find that octopus's head and chop it off. And I'm hoping we're going to be successful.
Get the head.
Pardon me?
You know, we all concentrate on different arms, but you got to get that head, don't you?
I know we do. We got to get that head. We'll blow up the head of the octopus. Listen, let's talk about... what do you think about what's going on with the TSA, the Transportation Safety Administration here, with groping and essentially molesting, and if they did it out on the street, they'd be arrested? You know, my take on this, Trevor, is personally, is I think they're just trying to indoctrinate the American people to see how far they can push them, how much they'll accept this kind of outrageous behavior and treatment. What is your take on it?
Well, I agree, and that I've been subjected to it myself, and it wasn't particularly pleasant, I'll tell you. But there's two angles to it. One is that, well, what is the purpose of terrorism? One of the main purposes of terrorism is to make the target country become more restrictive and more fascistic, you know, more dictatorial. So if it wasn't, you know, the terrorism has given the United States a reason to set up the Department of Homeland Security and the TSA and all these things, which are basically shaking down America in more ways than one. You know, they are making America more like Russia, you know, used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in some ways the terrorists are winning. Like,
well,
if you're really, you know, what should be happening, as we all know, is profiling. Because
of course.
You know, in
that's
criminal,
common sense.
That's how it should work. But the leftists, the communists, and the Civil Liberties Union, and the Lawyers Guild, and organisations like that have destroyed that possibility. So therefore, you can't actually target the people who are likely to commit crimes. Everybody has to suffer. And that, as you say, is conditioning Americans to accept the power of the state. It's degrading Americans. It's making you more like sheep and less like the rugged individuals you know you want to be.
Well,
so it has impacts all across the board.
Oh, sure. Well, I don't know if you've read this or not yet today in your travels across the internet, Trevor, but there was something I read today that CARE, which is a Muslim organization, is instructing the Muslims who want to get on a plane that what they need to do is they need to pat themselves down, and then they need to report on the findings to the TSA agent. Now,
isn't it just insane?
Yes, no, it is. No. I mean, it is just so... You can't make this stuff up. It's like a bad acid trip or something, what's going on here in this country. It's just the most bizarre craziness. I swear, I think that when they dream up these different things, somebody is sitting back there just laughing hysterically, thinking, well, let's see how far we can push them with this nonsense. Or what?
Surely they won't swallow this.
Yeah, exactly.
But but we do, you know.
But let's do it anyway and see if the dopes will just go along with it and not say anything. It's just craziness. It really is like a Hollywood production.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And you know, again, Americans are standing up. They've had enough, and they're putting these guys on the defensive, and so they should. And that's what the great thing about America is, that you don't accept this status garbage like so much of the world does. And
wow,
that's what you've got to keep doing. Just push these guys back at every opportunity.
Well, you know, I noticed on your website, Trevor, you have 110 files, at least the ones that I saw initially, about Barack Obama. How long were you researching on Barack Obama before he was elected? Did you start before he started to run for the presidency, or was it just since he was nominated that you decided to do some research on who exactly was Barack Obama?
Yeah. Well, it was early in 2007.
Okay.
I was researching the Communist Party. It was March 2007. So I was researching the Communist Party USA website, and I came across an article by a guy called Gerald Horn. And he's a Communist Party historian, basically. And he was writing a little piece about a pro-communist poet who lived in Hawaii. And then he spoke about how this guy met a family who had a young mixed-race son. And Frank Marshall Davis was introduced to this mixed-race son to act as a sort of mentor to him. And they mentioned this guy was called Barack Obama. And then they talked about how this relationship could become seen in the history of the future as a very, very significant relationship. Now, to me, if you know how the communists talk, that article was sending a message. It was only supposed to be read by fellow communists.
Mm-hmm.
Was sending a message that Barack Obama is a friend of ours, and we should be looking out for him. We should be supporting him. So that set off alarm bells for me, and I began delving into his background and found all sorts of links to the Communist Party, all sorts of links to Democratic Socialists of America, and committees of correspondence. And as it progressed, I found more and more connections. Then after he was elected, he started appointing a whole lot of these people to power, and a whole lot of these people out of the same movements as him. Like, for instance, Van Jones, his communist green job czar, who I exposed, didn't just come out of nothing. He came out of the San Francisco branch of the same movement that got Barack Obama to power in Chicago. So there are connections all the way through. The same with John Holdren, the same with David Axelrod, the same with, I've forgotten the name of the woman who's Valerie Jarrett, the same with Patrick Gaspard, all these people around Obama, they're all connected in some way to the communist or socialist movement in the United States.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting thing, really, when you think about who controls the media in this country. Because if any of these things had really been on the main page, the front page of a newspaper, he would never have gotten there. And, of course, we know that. That's just common sense. I think there would be enough Americans who would have, you know, just revolted at the thought of this person being elected to president of the United States. But none of this stuff was exposed. There was only, you know, tidbits here or there, and then, of course, they were automatically shot down that you just, you know, you hate black people or you're racist or some of that other hustle that they love to throw around all the time here to silence their opposition. But it's just incredible, really. It's incredible how much stuff you've got on your website, how much stuff some people were aware of what this man was about and his associations, and yet it never got anywhere.
We had press conferences on this, and we released all sorts of information. But you imagine if the media had investigated Barack Obama like they did Sarah Palin. Now, they practically went through Sarah Palin's underwear drawers.
Oh, I know.
They went on her kids' Facebook pages. They did everything they could. They investigated every connection, everything she'd ever done. They'd probably know how many parking tickets she'd had. And that was all so-called legitimate because, you know, the people had to know,
right,
who had a right to know who might be running their country. But the people didn't have a right to know Barack Obama's background. And it's quite interesting, revelations a few months ago about the Juno list. There was an email group of 400 journalists, all left-wingers, who actively conspired to, A, dig up dirt on Sarah Palin, but more importantly, to protect Barack Obama. Now, several of those journalists were involved with Democratic Socialists of America, the Institute for Policy Studies, and radical left-wing groups. So, you know, you had 400 of the key journalists in the United States working together to elect Barack Obama and to denigrate Sarah Palin. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that goes on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even her young daughter, who was dancing on one of the Dancing with the Stars shows, you know, she had threats against her life and that, because the kid is dancing on a television show. I mean, you'd think at what point would this stuff end? Leave the kid alone. Who cares what she does? And, you know, but it doesn't end. It won't end. They will not stop doing that kind of stuff. They're not going to stop.
They will attack any person they perceive as a threat. And Sarah Palin is perceived as a very major threat to the leftist agenda. And she is seen as one of the few people that can take Barack Obama on and possibly win. So she will come under attack all the way. And if she declares, if she stands for the presidency, it will just go crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm certain that that's going to be the case. Not that she will be, you know, decide that she's going to run for office, but they'll never leave her alone, because she's good fodder for them. When they have nothing else they think of they can write, they'll write something about her, because that always gets their that gets their base motivated, because they love to hate. So,
yeah, well, you know, look, I've, it's quite legitimate that journalists should investigate the background of people standing for public office. So I've got no objection to them investigating Sarah Palin, as long as they put the same attention on Barack Obama or Joe Biden or many of the other leftists and hardcore communist congressmen and senators that you now have in the House.
I got a question for you, Trevor, from someone listening, and they want to know if New Zealand is a good place to live, how much socialism is there, and can they go there?
Look, I could probably start an immigration consultancy.
I
for
bet.
The inquiries I get. New Zealand is a great place. It's very laid back. The standard of living is not as high as America, and we have a lot of socialism here, but it's quite a laid back country, and you can still make a dollar here, but you've got to realise if you move here, your standard of living is going to suffer. You're going to get a lot of beautiful scenery, a lot of very friendly people, but you probably won't make as much money. And
well, if we stay here long enough, Trevor, we're not going to make whatever money we were making anyway. So,
well,
at the rate they're going, anybody making 50 grand will now be making 10. So, maybe
well, 50 grand will be worth 10.
Yeah, it will by the time they're done destroying the dollar, exactly.
Yeah. So New Zealand is a great place, but ultimately, if America fails, every Western country will fail. So, you know, you can get away from it, and New Zealand is a good country in that it won't be the civil unrest and that you might get in America. But ultimately, you know, for freedom to be defended, America has to be defended.
Yeah. I wonder how many other people really you stand out in my mind, Trevor, exceptionally so, because of your interest in your fight for this country. I wonder how many other people are behind the scenes trying to do the same thing. I hope there's a lot of them. I hope there's a lot of people in the world who realize that without America, we're all doomed. I just wonder sometimes.
Well, I think America has a lot of friends, that's for sure, but there is a huge culture of anti-Americanism around the world, and including in my own country. You know, the left has been hard at work for 50 years to basically paint Americans as warmongers and imperialists and that kind of thing. So, you know, and that's just something that needs to be accepted. I think what America has to do, what Americans have to do, is stand up for their own constitution and turn their own country around, and then you will get people all over the world rushing to your support. But unless, and that's why we all cheer on the Tea Party movement, because that's exactly what you guys are doing. But ultimately, and I'm sorry to say it, you know, America has got to do this itself.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I know
it. You know, there's a lot of people who want to help you as much as we can, but, you know, we can't even vote over there. You know.
Well, but maybe we'll start a voting service for New Zealanders.
Exactly. But look, when I've been in the States, and I'll say this, I've met so many people who are working day and night to turn this turn your country around. Everywhere I go, there are Tea Party people, there are researchers, there are congressmen. I've met all sorts of people, and they are very aware of the problem. They are very aware that this is America's last chance, and they're very aware of the consequences of failure. And look, I've been impressed everywhere I go. You know, people are standing up, and that is very inspiring.
Yeah, it really is a nice thing to see. And when you listen to the left and all the stuff they say, now I belong to Tea Parties, Trevor, and when I've been standing on a street corner with fellow Tea Partiers and we're standing there holding signs, and you have, you know, people in their 70s and, you know, somebody's got a knee brace on, or, you know, we have to have a couple chairs because they get tired standing in that, and you know, or they're limping along with their cane and their sign. And then when you read the nonsense that somehow we're the extremists, that we're on a list now, they put us on, you know, this DHS list of potential extremists because we want to stand up for the Constitution, or we're in support of the free speech, the First Amendment, or the Second Amendment, the right to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government. All of a sudden now, the patriots, the flag wavers, the returning veterans, they're the terrorists and they're the extremists. It's just such absolute bogus nonsense. I would think even if you were on the left, how could you believe such rot?
Well, they probably don't believe it, but, you know, the problem is a lot of the rest of the world believes it, and a lot of people I know in New Zealand believe it. They think the Tea Party people are extremists and violent, and, you know, they think they're basically one step removed from the Ku Klux Klan. Now, I know that that's absolute garbage, because I've met so many Tea Party activists, and that's the thing, the left loves to demonize. They will paint you because they want to, they need to destroy the Tea Party movement. The Tea Party movement is the biggest single threat now to realizing the progressive agenda. So you've got to be demonized and criticized and provoked into acts of violence, all this sort of thing. Now, one interesting thing is, if you look at who is behind these movements, it's the Southern Poverty Law Center. There are other networks, all of them which are linked to the Democratic Socialists of America or the National Lawyers Guild or other far-left extremist groups. So these are the people who are directing this movement. These are the real haters.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, the patriots are being demonized, but you've just got to keep going and ignore that and just stand up for what you believe in.
Trevor, we've only got a couple more minutes. Is there any other final parting words of wisdom you'd like to give my listeners?
Oh, it's been going for a long time, but...
Well, you can't. You only got a couple of minutes, so if you could make it in a couple minutes, that would be great.
Look, I think it's just a message to America that, you know, you've got a country that has been a beacon to the world for so long. You've got a constitution that is the greatest political document ever written, and that has guaranteed your freedom and prosperity for 200 years. It has been whittled away, people have been too complacent, but now the progressive movement, the 1960s radicals, are now in power. They are running America, and they will destroy your constitution, destroy your economy, destroy your prosperity, and take away your freedom if you let them do it. So that is what is at stake. This isn't just about an economic or a few bad laws here and there. This is about the destruction of liberty in America forever. and then consequently the rest of the world. So we're playing for huge, huge stakes here. And if you're thinking about getting involved in a movement, or thinking about standing for Congress, or thinking about getting involved in your local school board, don't think. Just get out and do it.
I think you're going to find a lot
more
people.
There's no better time to be active than there is now, because you will not get a chance in 5 years' time.
No. They probably won't even have elections then. Well, Trevor, the website I have for you is newzeal.blogspot.com. Is that the only website you want me to give out? Feel free to give your... I think you've got a Wiki one as well, too, don't you?
Yeah, we also have a website called KeyWiki.
Okay.
So that's K... If you just Google KeyWiki. Now, that is an online encyclopedia of American political activists, mainly leftists. So we've got huge lists of Communist Party members, socialists, a whole lot of U.S. congressmen and senators and public appointees, detailing their communist backgrounds, socialist backgrounds, connections, etc. It's like a big Wikipedia, focusing mainly at the stage on the American left.
Okay.
So if you want to look up your local congressman or your senator or Barack Obama's extensive left-wing background, just go to KeyWiki.
Okay, great. Trevor Loudon, thank you so much for being on my show tonight. I really appreciate it. This podcast of this interview with Trevor Loudon from newzeal.blogspot.com will be on my website, which is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. I will be back on Friday at 5 o'clock, and on Sunday noon on micro1650am.com. You can hear me every day on nettalkworld.com, where I'm replayed at 4 o'clock, and on Saturdays from 3 to 5. You can also hear me on TalkStream Live, my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Listen, everybody, go there. Podcast will be up. Links to Trevor Loudon's websites will be up there as well. And, hey, everybody, enjoy Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be grateful for. And keep your chin up, because better days are coming. And if my buddy in the studio is listening, hey, Dean, let's go to Oz, because it's in Somewhere Over the Rainbow, a wonderful place to be. Trevor Loudon, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Hey, everybody, take care. Let's go to Oz.
Some place where there isn't any trouble. Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto? There must be.